In Luke 24, 45, Jesus makes a, Luke records a statement, records something that Jesus did. Now, in all the four Gospels talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. In Luke, he records the two disciples that went to the went to Emmaus, and on their way, they walked along with Jesus, didn't know it was him, till after they got there and talked about that he should stay and eat dinner with them. And when he began to break the bread, they realized who he was, and then he disappeared out of their sight. They went running back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what had happened. And they didn't believe him. Remember the women when they said they've seen Jesus? They didn't believe them either. Because they were overcome by the obvious. The biggest mistake we make as believers is we're overcome by the obvious. Don't ever let the obvious define God's perfect plan. Don't ever let that happen. We all do it. I'm just telling you, don't. I know you'll all change now, okay. Then verse 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he proceeded to tell them from the scriptures that it was prophesied that he would suffer, he would die, he would be raised from the dead, and that repentance and remission should be preached around the world. Then verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I was reading through this the other day, and the thought struck me, right in the middle of all this, Jesus was trying to connect the dots. How many know what connect the dots means? If you connect enough dots, you can see a picture. Okay? It says that he opened their understanding. Literally means he opened up their intellect, their mind. He wanted them to see what was going on. But then he says so that they would understand the scripture. He opened up their understanding so they would understand. Well, the first word for understand means the mind, the intellect. But the second word for understand means to take all of the various factors of the story and connect them so that you can understand what the picture conveys. Make sense? Can you remember the last time you were trying to explain yourself to your spouse? You were trying to take all of the detail and put it together so that they would understand? And you still couldn't figure out why they didn't understand? Russ goes through that all the time with Nancy. Well, it's connecting the dots. So let me read through this stuff that I've got. I've got 17 pages of notes. But he had spent months giving them information about the events that were going to take place. Before the crucifixion, they had not connected the dots. Why? Well, because for them, Jesus was establishing a kingdom that they didn't connect with. It was an intangible kingdom, but Jesus was, they expected a physical kingdom that would throw out the enemies of Israel, and they had a throne upon which they were going to rule. After the resurrection, they still hadn't connected the dots. Because, you see, now what was their life and purpose going to be like? Everything was gone. I mean, what they've been hoping for 3.5 years, just like that, was totally gone. And what was going to be there moving forward? What was that going to entail? What kind of sensible explanation would there be for all the events that had just gone on? I mean, they'd seen Jesus die. They saw him breathe his last breath. They knew where he was buried. Now people are saying that he's alive. Well, we need to understand that as the disciples were confused as to what the dots were supposed to comprise, so we are too sometimes. Jesus had to connect the dots for them, so sometimes he has to connect the dots for us or remind us of what those dots once pictured and bring us back, put us on track so that the purposes we believe that God has called us to can be realized. Question I want to ask you today is, have you connected the dots in your life? What's the picture you see or perceive as your primary goal in life? This is an opportunity for us to take a look at ourselves because of the impossibility of the situation they faced. Some of our situations are just as impossible. But resurrection proved that God is never limited by impossibilities. Amen. You need to realize that it doesn't matter how serious of a situation that is before you, it is never impossible for God. Amen. God can change everything. God can turn everything around. But you see, our problem is that we don't want to trust Him to do it. We want to try to help Him out and do it ourselves. The fact is that God doesn't really need your help to turn your life around. He needs your willingness to let Him do it. Now, our real purpose then has little to do with reaching life goals that society has established as important, whether they be socially or financially or in another way important to the natural mind. Literally, every asset in our lives, including our money, our talents, our intellect, our profession, our knowledge, our career, all these things are assets for the kingdom, designed to bring people into a personal interaction and relationship with the Father. Amen. The advancement of His kingdom is our number one goal. Our number one priority in terms of strategies to reach spiritual objectives that we are to dedicate our life to accomplishing. In other words, your life is never defined as complete when it excludes Jesus being in charge of all of the assets of our life. Things in life that come our way are opportunities to connect with others, so in our life, we see kingdom goals fulfilled in others, not for our personal pleasure, socially or domestically or physical or in any way. In other words, real life goals are His goals. Amen. You see, their goals were a kingdom, a throne. We're going to do a job on the Romans. God's life goals for them was to submit to His lordship, and God would take care of the Romans. He wanted them to carry out the vision of touching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything else then is destined for failure. So when we connect the dots, we see ourselves as God does. A New Testament Jesus walking in the 21st century. T.L. Osborne used to make a statement that I always enjoyed. He said, when I go someplace, God shows up. Because God lived on the inside of him. So his responsibility then was not to trust in... How many have heard this prayer? Lord, go with us as we leave this place. That is not a scriptural prayer. Jesus said he would never leave you. You don't need to ask God to go with you. He's with you always. Have to be dead if he wasn't with you, the roads that we have to drive on. He's probably pushed more cars out of the way to keep from hitting you than you'll ever know. We probably won't find out how many times we've been delivered from negative situations until we get to heaven. Hello? No, T.L. Osborne's challenge was, I need to make sure that when I get there, He can use me to bring about the kingdom. We need to ask ourselves the question. Every place we go, everything we do, all the people that we connect with, when we show up, Jesus just showed up. But if we're not careful how we talk, how we think, how we act, He won't be seen, heard, or experienced. Good preacher, Pastor. We are instruments in His hands, designed to further His kingdom and His divine purposes in people we have connections with. In other words, there are no accidental encounters to spirit with in spirit directed believers' lives. There are no accidental encounters. You never meet somebody by accident. Oops, I'm surprised. Why should you be? Are you understand what I'm saying? If God is directing your life, if the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, that means that when you go someplace and you run into people that you hadn't planned on running into, you are there in that spot by God's choosing. Now, I'm not saying that everywhere we go is where we should be. But one thing is true. You ready? When you go someplace, you're there. You get that? Okay. So obviously there's some places we don't need to be. Scripture says, wherefore come out from among them and be what? Separate. So there is a different walk for believers. But when we are being directed by the Holy Spirit in our lives and we are walking out the walk that He's called us to, when we have encounters with people, those aren't accidental. God has brought that about. So be prepared to be a sower of good things into their life. Be it love, be it compassion, be it understanding, be it grace, mercy. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, make sure every word that comes out of your mouth is seasoned with grace. Boy, if that's a biggie. Man. Or when you're driving the freeway and somebody cuts you off, boy, it's hard to season their life with grace. I have to deal with Priscilla with that all the time. People that connect with their life are pre-programmed by God to seek for what dwells at the core of our spirit. Think about that. We draw people to us. Let me rephrase that. The Holy Spirit draws people to us because what's at the core of our being, they need to experience. Thank you for that one amen. His life, His purpose, His full completion that will release the divine purpose He has for individuals that He brings into our lives. We don't realize how hungry the world is. People are hungry. They want something that's real. People want to be able to lay down their head at night and know that their life makes sense, that there's been some fulfillment to it. There are people that lay down at night and can't go to sleep because they're so frustrated over the garbage they've had to deal with today and the fear they're going to have more of it tomorrow. You know what? God doesn't get glory out of that. God wants you to understand that your day today that you're living can be under His divine control, and He'll work out all the details that you can't. He'll give you fulfillment in areas that you feel that are absolutely impossible to experience anything positive out of, and give you hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today. I believe that. Lord, help us to connect the dots. So if those dots are connected, they show us a picture. Everybody say picture. Redeemed child of God is free from anything that will interfere with their relationship with God. A person who connects the dots is a new creation. They're free from the control of this world's value system. You know, the world's value system stinketh. One who's free from the curse of sin and its captive force has been broken. When you connect the dots and you recognize that God loves you and that in the same way that He died for those people 2,000 years ago, He died for you, and the same reason why He was risen from the dead for those people 2,000 years ago, He was raised from the dead for you. When you grab that truth and realize that that's starting to connect the dots and your understanding starting to come to terms with the fact that, you know what, Jesus did that for me, all of a sudden you realize that the stuff that's controlling your life has been broken. You don't have to live that way anymore. Stress is not in control because the peace of God rules. Biggest fear in the world today is I'm going to lose what I've got and not get more of what I want. I said, the biggest problem in the world today is the fear that I'm going to lose what I've got. Everybody say, Father, thank you for what I have. You're going to keep me. See, I don't have to be afraid I'm going to lose that. Don't have to be afraid. Matter of fact, I discovered a long time ago that if you will give what you lose, you'll get it back. When people take from you that they shouldn't, just give it to them. Say, well, I'm giving it to them. You remember my lawnmower story, don't you?
Yes.
You're beautiful! Lastly, the future is not defined by the negatives of the present. But future is wrapped up in God's plans. And His plans are pretty good. His plans are awesome. As a matter of fact, His plans are so tremendous that when He puts them in place, if you're too slow, and people like Russ and Mike are really slow, and Jerry's a close behind, but when it looks like that there's just, it's not working out, God will wrap a rope around you, He calls it hope, and He'll pull you ahead. You understand what I'm saying? Remember He said, I've got good plans for you, but also wrap a rope around you and I'll pull you ahead. See, God's in the process of pulling us ahead from where we are to where He wants us to be, so that what the enemy says we're going to lose, God says, no, don't worry about it, I'm in charge. So Resurrection Sunday says that Jesus is in charge. Amen. Resurrection Sunday says that no matter how bad it looks, and what it looks like there's just death constantly trying to define your life for you, you need to understand something. Jesus says, let it go ahead and define all it wants. I'm the one who's really drawing the picture. And His picture says, you're a winner. Amen. His picture says that you're overcoming. His picture says it didn't matter how messy things are, He's putting it all together. Amen. Amen. Father, we come before You. Lord, You know each and every one of us what's going on in our life today. Lord, You know You were with us this morning when we woke up. You were with us when we went to sleep last night. You walked through our yesterday and saw all the mess that was there. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking You to help us to understand how much You love us and to put together the dots, to connect the dots, to let us see the picture of Your ultimate destination for us, which is peace, joy, contentment, and fulfillment that is found only in You. And I pray for every person in this place this morning, Father, that's wrestling with seeking fulfillment, contentment, satisfaction in life. I pray, Father, that You'd help them to understand that outside of Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility. But Lord, You told us that with You all things are possible. Say this with the Heavenly Father. I take my life today. I surrender it to Your keeping. I take all that is part of my life. And I say, Jesus, use them. Every asset, use them to be a blessing to people and to further and to advance Your kingdom. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I surrender my whole being to You today, and I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory.